Hello, Mzanzi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. I am your host, Patricia Kimbo. Today, we will be discussing maize varieties, specifically those that have been adapted to South African conditions. This episode is set to be informative and practical as we welcome Sia Jabuza, who is the marketing officer at Lake Agriculture. He works closely with crop farmers and cooperatives in maize cultivation through supplying marketing strategies and, I believe, technical support. Sia, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. If you can just give us a little bit of background of who you are, what you do, it'll be great.
Thank you so much, Patricia. I really appreciate it. First and foremost, I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you for letting me come into your show as a guest. I really do appreciate it. My name is Sia Jabuza from Lake Agriculture. I'm a junior marketing officer. So what we do is we supply in hybrids like your white maize, yellow maize, sugar beans, soybeans. We have a range of different cultivars. I do work with farmers. I also work with retailers, your co-ops, agro dealers, and I'm in tune with agriculture. And basically what we do is we specialize in hybrids, you know, because we're a seed company. So that is us and that is me.
We're pleased to have you. Our main topic today is just going to be the maize varieties specific to South Africa. But why is it important for farmers to plant maize varieties that are adapted to their specific agroecological zones and the climates?
Planting maize varieties suited to a specific agroecological zone and climate is crucial for several reasons. Like, for instance, optimizing yield, different maize varieties thrive under varying conditions such as rainfall, temperature, and fall type. So choosing the right variety ensures better growth and high productivity, which is every farmer's wish. Some other reasons, diseases and pest resistance. Some maize varieties are naturally resistant to pest and disease prevalent in certain regions, reducing the need for chemical intervention and safeguarding crops. Resilience to stress, climate adapted. Maize varieties are better equipped to handle environment stresses like droughts or exceed rainfall, ensuring stability in production. Another reason would be efficient resource use. These varieties make better use of local resources like water and nutrients, promoting sustainable farming practices and reduces cost. Another reason would be economic benefits. By maximizing yields and minimizing losses, farmers can secure a more stable income while meeting market demands. Tailoring crops to local conditions empowers farmers to face challenges head-on while contributing to food security. So I think that would be like a breakdown for that question.
I think with our farmers listening, it's important for them to also just know the agroecological zones and, you know, to be familiar with that. Thanks for sharing that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, how can farmers determine the best varieties when it comes to yield, if you know that's the priority, or if it's markets, adaptability to the climate, as you know, we touched on in the first question, and then diseases and, you know, pests. If you can just give us your insights on how farmers can determine those factors.
They can determine by like considering several factors, as I mentioned on top, like yield potential, for instance, evaluating the variety's performance in terms of productivity under local conditions, conduct field trials, or refer to research data to identify high-yielding cultivars. Another reason would be market demand. Choosing cultivars that align with market preferences such as grain quality, size, or specific uses. For example, like animal feeds, human consumptions, and things like that. Another reason would be adaptability. Farmers should select varieties that are well-suited to the local climate, soil type, and as we mentioned on top, agroecological zone. This ensures resilience against environmental stresses like drought or excessive rainfall. Disease and pest resistance. Opt for cultivars with strong resistance to common disease and pest in region. And obviously, this reduces the need for chemical treatment and minimizing crop losses. Lastly, would be field trials and expert advice. Conduct on-farm trials to test different cultivars under real-world conditions. Because, I mean, that's the best thing that you can do, you know, conducting trials and seeing the outcome itself. And then seek guidance for agricultural experts and extension services for recommendation. By carefully assessing these factors, farmers can make informed decisions that maximizes productivity and profitability.
I know farmers tend to be confused on what exactly they need to tell an extension officer or a consultant when it comes to selecting seed varieties. What information is important, do you think, to convey to an extension officer when a farmer is making the decision of which variety to plant?
Recommending maize variety to farmers, it's really essential to consider factors like climate, soil type, altitude, and rainfall, as I mentioned on top. But commonly recommended maize varieties would be hybrid maize varieties. These are bred for high yielding and resistant to pests and diseases. They often require more inputs like fertilizers and irrigation. Their suitability ideal for regions with reliable rainfall excessive to irrigation, such as high altitude areas with moderate to high rainfall. And then the advantages would be high productivity and uniformity in growth. And then seeds cannot be reused for planting as they lose their hybrid vigor. So that was hybrid maize varieties. Another variety that you can plant that is recommended is open pollinated varieties. We call it OPVs. These are traditionally varieties that can be replanted year after year without losing their genetic traits. Suitable for regions with limited resources such as low input farming system in semi-arid areas. Advantages are cost-effective for farmers who cannot afford to buy new seeds annually. And then the limitation is just lower yield compared to hybrids. The most, from my perspective, is drought tolerance. So for instance, like places in Toyahandu, you know, your Limpopo, your very dry areas, this is a suitable hybrid that you can plant. The characteristics is engineered withstanding prolonged dry spells, ensuring some levels of yield even in adverse conditions. Best for arid and semi-arid region where rainfall is unpredictable. Reduces the risk of total crop failure in drought-prone areas. And then limitations may require specific management practices to achieve optimal results. Early maturing varieties. These varieties have short growing season, allowing farmers to harvest earlier and suitable and ideal for regions with short rainy seasons or areas prone to early frost. And then obviously the advantages would help farmers to avoid losses due to late season drought or frost. And then the only limitation would be may have slightly lower yields compared to longer season varieties. As I mentioned, each variety has its strength and suited to specific environmental conditions. Farmers should consult local agricultural extension officers or seed suppliers to choose the best variety for the region. Not to just say they should just plant what they think would be suitable for them. They should have the knowledge and then seek for knowledge too. And then plants what is suitable for their climax or environment.
Just going back now, you spoke about the drought-prone areas and which varieties would be suitable for that. We experienced recently a maize shortage because of the droughts in the southern African region. You know, with the varieties that you know, what can you recommend for farmers who are vulnerable to droughts? What specifically do you recommend in terms of varieties and selecting them?
In terms of varieties, there's different varieties for different companies. In this case, if there's no trouble, I can mention ours as Lake Agriculture. Like for instance, we have Lake 601. Lake 601 is a very drought-tolerant hybrid. For instance, it's a medium maturing hybrid with white flints, flowers at 72 days and harvest at 140 days with the yield potential of 9 metric tons or per hectare. It's GMO-free and suitable for various African environments, outperforms other hybrids in acid soils and exhibits excellent nitrogen use efficiency and tolerates to striga, ideal for emerging farmers and recommended for commercial farmers. And it boasts a high yield potential and resistance in Nicosolifern hybrids. So farmers have their go-to guy and usually once something works for a farmer, they're going to stick to that. And it's really hard for them to try new things. But in the world of agriculture, I feel like it's really growing on a daily. And there's different cultivars and different companies coming into the field. With that, from my perspective, I think farmers, they should put their guard down and try new things so that they can see better potential, yield potential in terms of some varieties or some cultivars are different from other cultivars in a company. So I think they should just have a third eye and open their minds and just be free and try out other cultivars.
And maybe looking at technologies, what do you recommend for the small-scale farmers, those who are looking to scale in their production, the maize? What technologies are you familiar with that work in tandem with the varieties that you've spoken about?
For small-scale farmers aiming to expand maize production, adopting a mix of traditional and modern technologies can be significantly boost productivity and sustainability. So, for instance, I'd say climate-smart practices, use drought-tolerant maize varieties to withstand unpredictable weather conditions, implement mulching and cover cropping to retain soil moisture and improve fertility, precision agricultural, utilize GPS-enabled tools for accurate planting and resource allocation, employ soil testing kits to determine nutrient needs and optimize fertilizer use, irrigation solutions, drip irrigation systems, conserve water while ensuring consistent hydration for crops. Solar power pumps are cost-effective and eco-friendly for water management. Digital tools, mobile apps for weather forecasting and market prices help farmers make informed decisions. And remote sensing technologies and drones can monitor crop health and detect pest infestations early. And then lastly, mechanization. Small-scale machinery like handheld planters and threshers can save time and labor. These technologies not only enhances yield, but also promote sustainable farming practices. Those are the most popular one and affordable one.
Thanks, Sia, for breaking that down. So with technology, it's where we're headed right now in the agricultural industry, and it's we're already there, honestly. But along with technology, adopting new technology is the importance of practicing sustainably or cultivating sustainably. What role does things like integrated pest management and sustainable agriculture play in selecting seed varieties?
Integrated pest management and sustainable agricultural practices are pivotal in cultivating diverse crop varieties while ensuring environmental and economic balances. IPM is an ecosystem-based strategy that combines biological, cultural, mechanical, and chemical tools to manage pests effectively. It minimizes pesticides use, protects beneficial organisms, and reduces environmental risk. By focusing on pest prevention and monitoring, IPM supports the cultivation of healthy, resilient crop varieties. Sustainable agricultural practices. These practices aim to conserve resources, enhance biodiversity, and maintain soil health. Techniques like crop rotation, organic farming, and agroforestry improve soil fertility and reduces dependency on synthetic inputs. Sustainable methods also promote heirloom and pest-resistant varieties, ensuring long-term productivity. Together, IPM and sustainable agriculture create a harmonious system that fosters crop diversity, reduces environmental impact, and supports food security.
How can farmers keep up with the latest varieties? Because, you know, seed production is just, it's a continual process in adapting seed varieties to the new climate challenges farmers are experiencing. What advice do you have for farmers in keeping up with varieties?
Farmers can stay updated on the latest crop varieties through several effective methods. For instance, agricultural extension services. Local agricultural extensions offices often provide information on new varieties and their benefits. Someone like me, I'm a junior marketing officer. They also organize workshops and field demonstrations like your trial seeds, planting trial seeds and stuff like that. Seed companies and cooperatives, your co-ops, your agri retailers, your TWKs, your Baru, your NTK, a list of them. They regularly release new varieties and provide detailed guides on their performances. Cooperatives can be a great source of shared knowledge amongst farmers. Research institutions, universities, and agricultural research centers often publish findings on improved crop varieties. Farmers can attend open days or subscribe to newsletters from these institutes. Digital platforms, mobile apps, and websites dedicated to agriculture offer updates on new seeds and farming techniques. Obviously, social media groups and forums allow farmers to exchange experience and recommendations. Farmer field schools, these schools provide hands-on training and exposure to new technologies and crop varieties. Lastly, trade shows and expos, agricultural fairs and expos showcase the latest innovations, including new crop varieties.
Coming off of what you've just shared now, it'll be great for you to just share the seed varieties that you do have with Lake Agriculture. If you could just, you know, go through the varieties and the advantages of each, maybe being more specific to the regions that they develop for.
You know, I only have four different cultivars. So how Lake Agriculture started, we're 10 years into the industry. We're a small company, really growing fast. We specialize in hybrids. We're a seed company, really fast growing. We're only 10 years into the industry, but our growth, it's really good to watch. It's really good to be part of the growth. At the expo, I had four different cultivars. And if people are concerned about other cultivars, they can just contact me and then I can just explain the range of cultivars that we have. First of all, I have Lake 401, also known as Utawadela. So with our names, with each and every cultivar, it has a nickname basically. Because of us being dominant in African areas like your Swaziland, your Zambia, your Zimbabwe, we gave them local names so that they can remember instead of going to a co-op or an agro dealer saying Lake 401 or Lake 601 or Lake 101. We give them nicknames, preferably African nicknames, so that they can remember. Obviously, every hybrid, its name has a deeper meaning, but you'll just, as I'm explaining each and every cultivar. So for instance, we have Lake 401 nicknamed as Utawadela. It's a white hybrid. So it's an early maturing hybrid with white stained grains, which is 50% flowering in 65 days and harvest at 130 days with a yield potential of 8 meter metric tons per hectare. Its robust strength ensures wide adaptability. Large crop size and quick grain filling contributes to drought tolerance. Slow crop drying post-maturity enhances yield and guards against infield weevil damage. Exhibits excellent tolerance to major leaf diseases and features an appealing plant structure. So that is a Lake 401. And then similar to that, I have a Lake 601, nicknamed as Ivulindlela. So they're both white hybrids, but one is slightly faster than the other one. And then I'll name this one. It's a medium maturing hybrid. Remember, the other one was a early maturing hybrid. So the 401 is faster than that 601.
When you say early maturing and medium maturing, can you just specify that time period as well?
For instance, when we say early maturing hybrid, that is faster. So it has a faster flowering stage, a faster harvest stage. Like for instance, 401 reaches 50% flowering in 65 days and the Lake 601 reaches 50% flowering in 72 days. So there's a difference there. And then obviously with farmers, every farmer has their specific preferred cycle, preferred time. So for instance, some of them, they prefer an early maturing hybrid. Some of them prefer a medium maturing hybrid. And some of them prefer a late hybrid maturing. It's with preference, basically. Lake 601 is a medium maturing hybrid with white flint grains, 50% flowering at 72 days and harvest at 140 days with a yield potential of 9 metric tons per hectare. It's GMO-free and suitable for various African environments. So for instance, like your very droughty area, like your Limpopo, Tehandu, Bushbuckridge, all of that. And then outperforms other hybrids in acid oils, exhibits excellent nitrogen use efficiency and tolerance to striga, ideal for emerging farmers and recommended for commercial farmers. And then boasts high yield potential and resistance in mycosulfuron hybrids. And then our best seller is Lake 101. This is an early maturing hybrid. It's a sugar bean. It's nicknamed Kambamanga because of how fast it is. People couldn't believe how fast it reaches flowering and harvest. So they chose to name it Kambamanga, which refers to the beginnings of lice in English. It's an ultra early sugar bean with grains, which is 50% flowering in 30 days and harvest in 90 days. With a yield potential of 2.5 metric tons per hectare, ideal for quick harvesting, valuable for famine and drought-prone areas, offering excellent nutrition. Advantages for commercial farmers include early season price capitalization, risk mitigation, and late season planting. It has an upright growth habit and high pod height, facilitates mechanical harvest. And then lastly, but not least, I have an A324R. This is a yellow hybrid maize, and it contains a Roundup. This is a short season yellow maize hybrid with Roundup ready. Mayhew technology for glyphosates resistant, flowering in 65 to 70 days and maturing in 111 to 180 days. 118 days, it combines a high yield potential, strong standability, and excellent drought and heat tolerance. Those are the four cultivars that I had on show. But as I said, there's a range of different cultivars. And if they are interested, they can just contact me. We can get in contact and then I can explain each and every cultivar or share the information to them.
Just to wrap up our conversation, what mistakes have you seen farmers make and how can they avoid them when it comes to selecting seed varieties?
I think as I mentioned before, just try to get as much knowledge as you can about planting cultivars, different ranges. Farmers tend to make that mistake whereby they want to plant the same thing all over again, whereby the weather is unpredictable, first of all, you know. And with the agricultural side, especially with hybrids, it's crucial to just plan your year and make sure that you get the right timing to plant your cultivars, to plant your seeds. So I'd say get as much knowledge as you can. Try other varieties, which is very scary to do, but you never know, that might be your best seller. So for farmers, I'd say get as much information as they can before they buy to what they normally buy. Just try different cultivars, try to expand your farming skills. And yeah, I think that makes sense.
It does, yeah. Thank you so much, Sia, for your time. And for more information on the topic, you can visit our website, www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that brings us to the end of this episode. So remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. And that is it from me, Patricia Tembo, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of #TeamFoodformZanzi. Thank you for listening.